Okay, Parshas Vayechi. Last Parsha in Sefer Bereishis. Very last one before we conclude this first book. So I want to do two things, God willing, this afternoon. We'll do the last to make sure we have time for the other part, which I think as I was preparing it got longer and longer and longer. So we'll start with that. In this week's Parsha we have the blessings that Jacob Yaakov gives to his 12 sons. Each one of them is called in, giving their own special bracha. Before he does that, he gives a bracha to Yosef's two sons. Yosef, who has now become the viceroy of Mitzrayim, second in command, brought all of the family down from the land of Canaan down to Egypt, down to Mitzrayim to live. He has two sons, Ephraim and Menasheh. And Yaakov, before giving the brachas to all the other of the 12 tribes, gives the blessings to these two sons. This is one of the most famous and well-known psukim in Tanakh. The blessing that Yaakov gives to these two boys. And they are deceptively very difficult. So I want to go through, we're going to study literally just two verses, two psukim today, and work them through the difficulties that we have in them. So the background is as follows. I'm just finding my place. Here we go. Okay. Background is as follows. Before Yaakov dies, Yosef goes to visit him in the beginning of the Parsha. He brings his two boys with him. Yaakov sees the boys, and the Torah describes him as being unable to see in his old age. He asks Yosef, he says, "Who are these two people?" He says, "These are my two sons. Hashem has blessed me." Yaakov says on his deathbed, "Bring them to me, I'd like to bless them." If you wanted to follow this inside, this story is page 271, in the bottom of 270, 271 is the beginning of this story. Verse, end of verse 9, "Bring them to me if you please and I will bless them." Kochem no ilai va'avarchem. Yaakov says, "I want to give a bracha to your two children, to the two sons of Yosef, of to Ephraim and to Menasheh." This is where we have the famous incident. Yosef wants the elder son, who is Menasheh, to be given the blessing with Yaakov's right hand. So in order to be given the bracha with Yaakov's right hand, so Yosef places Menasheh on his left, and Ephraim on his right. And he puts the boys like that so that Yaakov, when he blesses them, will have his right hand on the older son. And Yaakov, of course, flips his hands, he switches them so that his right hand, which is the more powerful hand, expressing the hand which will have the stronger son and the more powerful blessing, actually goes on to the younger son, to Ephraim. The left hand of Yaakov goes on to the older son, to Menasheh, and which point Yaakov basically says, it's because this younger son will become greater, that's why I am doing that. And that's a whole story unto itself, but that not one which we are going to discuss, God willing, today. What I do want to discuss then is the actual words that he says. So now he has the two sons of Yosef in front of him. These are his grandchildren, the older and the younger one. His right hand is across his body on the younger son, Ephraim. His left hand is on the older son, Menasheh. And he says the following two verses. We'll read them together, and then we will open them up, as we have done in the past, for all of the difficulties in the text. So let's start. It's verse 15, Pasuk Tesvah. Vayivorech es Yosef. He blessed Yosef. Let's just let's read in context. Let's go back to Psukim, starting from 13. Just read in English to get the context. Yosef took the two of them, Ephraim with his right hand to Yisrael's left. Yisrael is a reference, of course, to Yaakov himself, who is sometimes referred to as Yisrael. So he's Ephraim with his right hand and Menasheh to his left, and he drew close to him. But Yisrael extended his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, though he was younger. Yaakov flipped his hands and his left hand on Menasheh's head. He maneuvered his hands, for Menasheh was the firstborn. Okay, that's all setting up what we just discussed, how he has the two boys. And then, verse 15. This is the two psukim, so look for all of the difficulties. We're going to go through all the questions that we have in the following two psukim. Vayivorech es Yosef vayoymar. He blessed Yosef, and he said, Elohim, the God, Asher Hishalchu Avosai Lefanov Avraham the Yitzchak, the God before whom my fathers have walked. So who's doing the speaking here? This is Yaakov who is speaking, the third of the forefathers. So he says, the God before whom my fathers have walked, Avraham and Yitzchak. Ha Elohim, Haroya Oisi Me Oidi Ad Hayoim Hazeh. the God who shepherds me from my inception until this day, all through my life, the God who has shepherded me. So he says two references to Hashem. One, who is the God of before whom my fathers, Abraham and Yitzhak, have walked. The God who has shepherded me my whole life. Tazayin 16, Hamalach HaGoyel Osimi Kol Ro, may the angel who redeems me from all evil bless the lads. V'korei v'hem shemi v'shem avosai Avraham v'yitzchak, and may the name, my name, be declared upon them, and the names of my fathers Avraham and Yitzchak. V'yidgu larov v'kerev ha'aretz, and may they proliferate abundantly like fish within the land. End of quote. That is these two verses. Very difficult. Lots of questions. So let's break it down into the difficulties in the text. What do we got?
You think he's
going to
bless the two boys,
and
then it says he blessed you.
Excellent. Question number one, it's question number one, we can decide which one of the biggest problems at the end. Question number one is the whole lead-up up to this is he wants to bless his grandsons. He wants to bless the sons of Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. He says so explicitly at the end of verse 9, which I purposely opened with to put that in context. Verse 9, if you flip back a page, says, bring them to me and I will bless them. He's specifically referring to the sons of Yosef. He wants to give a bracha to the children. And then when he has the boys in front of him, and he crosses his hands and he puts his right hand on one and his left hand on the other, and then the Torah says, and he blessed Yosef. And he said the following, what do you mean he's blessing Yosef? I thought the whole purpose of this is to bless the boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. Why does the Torah describe this as a bracha to Yosef? Excellent. Question number one. What else do we got?
Strange where it says, may the angel who redeems me from all evil bless the lads. We don't usually think of angels.
Excellent.
The lads.
Who's he talking to? Where does angel fit in?
Right, and now we think of, he wants Hashem to bless
him. Right, in context, he starts off with a reference to Hashem. May the God... before whom my forefathers Abraham and Yitzhak walked, the God who shepherds me from his seven sons, may the angel who redeemed. Where is this angel fitting in? Who is he talking to? Excellent. Question number two. Yeah. What else do we got?
Proliferate like fish in the land. I mean,
well, yeah,
known for fish.
Okay, excellent. Question number three is what a strange blessing. we'll put that in a bigger context. This is a very wordy. We've discussed this in a couple of weeks before. Sometimes you take a pasuk, you take a verse. It's very wordy, poetic, flowery. It's difficult. Break it down in straightforward English. What is he saying? What is the actual bracha? What is the blessing that Yaakov is bestowing upon his grandsons? He cut away all, just break it down simply. What is he saying? So certainly part of that is they should increase like fish. Alright, that's a question. What is it, what's the reference to fish? Here you have this blessing on the deathbed of Yaakov Avinu. Here is Jacob on his deathbed giving a blessing to his grandchildren, and what he has to say is you should be abundantly multiplied like fish. What is he getting at? Excellent question. I don't forget, that's three or four already. Ron, I don't believe that you don't have any problems with this text.
I'm enjoying listening to you today.
Okay, what else? Let's follow what I just finished saying. Break down, what does he get? What's the actual blessing? Cut away all of the openings and deductions and flowery language. What is the actual blessing? Break it down. And it's a three-part blessing. At the end of the day, he's saying really it's three components.
May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.
You're ready, you're different. Just right here, no, just this one verse, in verses 15 and 16. What's, break down, out of all the words that he's saying, what is he really, what's the blessing?
Well, the first part is the angel. Looks like there's three parts. May the angel redeem me. May my name and the names of my forefathers be declared upon them, and may they proliferate like fish.
Okay, good. Just quantify that first part of that sentence. What's the first half of the blessing?
May the angel who redeems me from all evil bless them.
Bless them. And let's leave out the angel because we have to deal with that. Like, who's he talking to? The three components seem to be they should be blessed. Whatever exactly that means, but they should be blessed. My name and my father's names should be called upon them. Again, I don't know what that means yet either. We'll have to figure that out. But just to go through the components. The three things are they should be blessed, they should have my name and my father's names be called upon them, and they should be proliferate abundantly like fish. They should increase in numbers. So if you break down at the end of all of these, both of these verses, which are difficult, flowery, poetic verses, which we need to break down further still, it seems like what the actual blessing is he's saying, I want the angel to bless them, that they should have my name called upon them, and they should multiply abundantly like fish. Agreed?
It says, God who shepherds me from my inception until this day. So from inception is like from when he was actually came to the world.
Correct.
As a youth.
Yeah.
Then he says, they may proliferate abundantly like fish. So that's like coming back to, I mean, from as far as their lineage, from their use also, right? Is that another point that's coming through? Or?
Okay, you're giving answers already.
Oh, okay.
We're still only in the question stage. We're in the question stage. So let's go back. So we have the three-part blessing is they should be blessed. I mean, now that's a little bit vague, but that's straightforward at least. He wants them to be blessed. He wants the name of himself and of his fathers, Abraham, to be called upon them. I would throw that out as a question. What does that mean? What does it mean to give a blessing to... This is equivalent to my giving a blessing to my grandchildren and saying, I bless you that my name and that my father's name should be called upon you. I don't even know what the words in English mean. What does that mean, that my name and my father's name should be called upon you? What is he blessing them with?
Well, then we have to go back to the angel that he wrestled with. He gave him the name Israel.
Okay.
So
you're giving an answer.
Oops.
Right? I know, so you're going to give it. I'm just posing it as a question. What do we need to work through in this pasuk? What is this blessing? So the three-part blessing is they should be blessed. My name should be called upon them. I would like to understand what that means. What is he blessing? What does he want when he says to his grandchildren, my name should be called upon you? And then that they should multiply, there should be a lot in numbers. Which in itself is straightforward. Now you asked a question on that. That in itself is straightforward. He wants them to increase and multiply and be vast. There's a side point. Why did he use the imagery of fish that they should increase? But the basics of the blessing is straightforward. They should be blessed. My name should be called upon them, you should multiply. That's the most straightforward, right? Now, why did he use fish? A question. What exactly does it mean that my name should be called upon them? That's a question. And he wants them to be blessed.
What about the way Abraham and Isaac walked?
Excellent, yeah.
So it must be leading, the question is, does he want them to lead the same life as those?
Good. Now Steve is going back to the first verse, which we need to do. What's with the introduction? Now that we quantified, at the end of the day, there is a three-part blessing here, that he wants them to be blessed, that his name should be called upon them, and they should multiply. He gives an introductory verse to that. One of those introductions is, the God before whom my forefathers Isaac and Abraham and Isaac walked. What's the reference? What does he want with that? What's the meaning? What's he conjuring up? What's the meaning of that introductory phrase? Good. Another question.
Robert, so they walked before Hashem. They were such a... To walk before Hashem, you have to be of high moral character. You have to be high good midot. I mean, such a level. I heard that Noah walked with Hashem. That he didn't walk before Hashem.
Okay.
That he was only able to walk with Hashem. So walking before Hashem is like almost like Hashem's representative. It's like a...
So what does he want? Why is this part of his blessing?
Character like Avraham and Yitzchak.
But these boys are growing up in Egypt.
Correct.
So it seems to me that's a really important that's an important lesson, that even though they're going to grow up in an alien society, he's giving them that blessing to strengthen them.
Which blessing?
They should walk like Avraham and
Yitzhak. I ask you to read this verse. Does he bless the children that they should be like Avraham and Yitzhak and walk before God as they did? Is that what he's saying?
That's how he's describing God in a way. He's saying, God, before whom my forefathers walked.
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's who I'm.
So is he blessing his grandchildren that they should also have that trait? Is that what he's saying?
It doesn't say that. It says he blessed Joseph and he said.
Correct? He doesn't say that.
He doesn't say that at all.
He blessed Joseph and he said, the God before whom my forefathers Abram and Isaac walked, the God who has shepherded me my whole life, may the angel bless them, call my name upon them, and multiply them. I don't hear in these psukim that he's blessing the children that they should be like Avraham and Yitzchak in their ability to walk before God. At least not in that phrase.
They should have the name. They should have the name Yisrael, which is going to include, in other words, that name is going to be on them. And in later generations, that's going to cause them a lot of sorrows. But that's the name that should be on them.
Okay. Are you explaining what that phrase is doing in the beginning? I have a blessing. He gives three blessings.
Right.
And then he introduces it with two phrases. So what's the meaning of the first phrase? Yeah, let's just wrap up the questions because we've got to get to some answers. There was I think it's Rav Beryl Wine, the historian, likes to say there's a certain book on the Parsha called the Meshech Chochma. So the way the Meshech Chochma writes is that he poses a bunch of questions. Maybe it might not be Meshech Chochma. It poses a bunch of questions, and then he gets the answers. So he says the problem with the book is that a fellow takes a sefer in his hand after the meal Friday night. So he sits down on the couch to start learning. He gets through all the questions, and he falls asleep. And then the next week, he finishes his Friday night meal, takes the book to the couch, and he starts reading, gets all the questions, he falls asleep. By the end of the year, he's a total, he's a kofer. He doesn't believe in anything. He's got thousands and thousands of questions. He's got no answers. It's a problem. That's the way he's learning. So we're going to get to some answers, God willing. So in any case, so let me sum up the way that I would ask the questions. Number one is an introductory statement. He seems to invoke two different aspects of God. Number one, he invokes the aspect that you are the God before whom my fathers walked. And then he has a second phrase, and you are the God who has shepherded me. Those are two very different aspects. One is saying, you're the God before whom Avraham and Yitzchak walked before you. And that doesn't seem to be enough. He says, O God, who my forefathers have walked before, and O God, who has taken care of me. You then deal with this angel, which we have to deal with, and then present the blessings. But there's two parts of this introductory phrase, two aspects of Hashem and His characteristics and His influence in the world. One is that Avram and Yitzchak have walked before you. Number two is that you have shepherded and protected me. And then he says, may the angel, which of course we have to deal with, where is this angel fitting in? May he bless the lads, may my name be called upon them, whatever exactly that means, and may they multiply like fish abundantly in the world. That's the end of his blessing. And of course, the opening question is what Dina asked, why is he blessing Yosef? I thought the whole purpose is really to bless the children. I mean, that throws the whole thing off. The introductory phrase is, and he blessed Yosef. What is he blessing Yosef with? These are the blessings for the children. Okay, is that enough questions? Is it clear as mud?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so that's the issue. Now, these are two very, I would say, almost like famous psukim. These are the blessings that Yaakov has given, the blessings of Hamalach, Hagoel, Osim, Mikol Ra, which we are said to children throughout the world based on this, and the actual verse themselves are pretty difficult. It's not very simple to understand exactly what it is that Yaakov meant with these psukim. Okay, so let's break this down and understand as much as we can. Let's start with the first question. Vayivarech es Yosef. The phrase the Torah uses is that Yaakov gave the bracha to who? He gave the bracha to Yosef, which would seem odd because the purpose is to give the bracha not to Yosef, but to give it to Yosef's children, to Ephraim and to Menashe. So there are two comments here that are made, one by the Sephorno and one by the Ramban, that I'd like to share. The Sephorno is one of the classic commentators on the Chumash. He's printed in your classic edition of the Chumash. And he says as follows. He reads the pasuk in a very interesting and novel way. So he reads it as follows. Vayivarech es Yosef. Yaakov gave a bracha to his son Yosef. Says the Sephorno, V'lo hutzrich b'zeh l'raya. We don't need any proof in the text that he gave that bracha. I don't need any words. I don't need any, literally, any proof. V'lo l'chibuk, no hug. V'lo l'neshikel, no kiss. V'lo hizkir ma'isa bracha. Doesn't mention b'chlal, doesn't mention at all what the blessing was. Just that he had his son in front of him, his son whom he loves, who is about to give a bracha to his two sons. So he says, the Torah says, Ayivarech es Yosef, just plain, he blessed Joseph. And that's it. He gave a blessing. And then the next word in the Torah, what does it say the next word? Vayomar, and he said. Right? The phrase, Pasuk 15 opens up, he blessed Joseph, and he said. So we read that as one idea. Right? There are two verbs there. How many verbs are in that phrase? He blessed Joseph and he said. There are two. So we read it right through as if it's one. He blessed Joseph as if it says by saying as follows. Like that's how he blessed him. So the Sforno reads this verse as if there are two separate verbs there. He blessed Joseph, period, end of story. He gave a bracha to him. And he said, new idea, new thought, this is now the blessing that he's bestowing upon the children, which he had initially set out to do. So that the art scroll translation, according to the Sforno, would read a little bit different than what we have in front of us. It would be, he blessed Joseph, period. Torah doesn't need to say how or what or why. It's irrelevant. He gave him a blessing. New sentence. And he said to the boys as follows. That's how the Sforno would read this verse to address Dina's problem as to why is he giving a blessing to Joseph. No? Who raised that question? Maybe Eleanor. Somebody raised that question. In addressing this question, that's how the Sforno says it. But the Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban, also the Rashbam, two of the other commentators say as follows. A beautiful idea. In the words of the Rashbam, Birchos Habonim, he Birchos Ha'av. A blessing to the children is really a blessing to the father. You give a blessing to the children, really what you're doing is you're blessing the father. As the Ramban describes this, he says, in order, out of his great love for Yosef, for his son, so he therefore blessed his children. So that they read it exactly as it says. These commentators say, and he blessed Joseph and said to his boys the blessing that we're about to read. But it was really a blessing to the father, because when one loves one's child, so you give a blessing to that person's child, it's the same thing. I once had a friend who was explaining the idea that we find often in the Chumash. Hashem describes us as children of Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. We are grandchildren of them. And Hashem often says in the Torah, I had a great love for Abraham and Yitzchak, and because I love the forefathers, therefore I love you. And the Torah often just gives us that lineage. And he used to explain this, a friend of mine once told me, he said, we grew up together, he moved to Israel, and he has a whole family, and I have kind of our family, and we saw each other at a wedding. None of our children were there. So he said, I didn't know that he was going to be there. It was all exciting reunion at the wedding that he flew in from Israel as a cousin of his. So as he was sharing this thought, he said, I'll give you an example. He said, if I saw one of your children in Israel, and I came across, he ended up at my Shabbos table somehow, and I introduced him, he says, Binyamin Freimlich. Binyamin Freimlich? Are you the son of Chatzko Freimlich? He would say, yeah, that's my father. He said, I would take that boy, and I would say, ah, you're the son of my friend Chatzko Freimlich. I'd give him a big kiss and a hug. And you'd say, you don't even know this kid. I don't even know who you are. I've never seen you before in my life. But you are the son of my good friend. And when I run across the child of my good friend, ah, come in, you want whatever you want, I'll give you a big hug and a kiss. You're my friend. I don't know you from a hole in the wall, but you're the son of my friend. So he says, that's what Hashem is always saying. He says, you're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Hashem says, they're mine. I love them. What they've done for me, what I've done for them. So you, the Jewish people, you're their children. You're forever their children. So whatever you do, doesn't matter. Because when I see you, you're the son of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's who you are. I give you a big hug and a kiss. And that's what the Ramban said. That's what happened here. He gave a bracha to Yosef. How does he give a bracha to Yosef? Blesses his children. But it's really a blessing back to the father because he cares so much for his son, Yosef. So he gives a bracha to the children, but it's really just a blessing back to his own son, to Yosef. And that's how the Ramban and the Rashban both understand this phrase, Vayivarech es Yosef. Why is he giving a blessing to Joseph? It doesn't mean he didn't actually give a blessing to Joseph. The Sforno says he does. According to the Sforno, the first commentary that we learned, yeah, and there are actually two components to this verse. First, he gave a bracha to Yosef, and then he turned to the sons and he gave them a bracha. The Ramban says, no. He only gave a bracha to the boys, and the Torah describes that as if he gave a bracha to Yosef. Because through his love of Yosef, he gave the bracha to the boys, and it's really all one and the same. That's the nature of a relationship between the father and the son, that if you have a relationship with one, you have a relationship with the other as well. Okay, let's move on in the verse. Now we have these two introductory phrases. Twice we have the words Elohim, O God. One is that my forefathers have walked before you, and the other one is that you have shepherded me as well. So again here, the Sforno and the Ramban have a little different take on this. The issue really is whether or not these phrases are beginning a request of Hashem? Is Yaakov already beginning in his blessings by requesting something? Or is he offering a praise of Hashem? Sometimes when you're beseeching God to bless these grandchildren. So am I praising Hashem before something? Like almost buttering you up as we do with our Shemone Esrei. When we daven, we open up with praises. First three blessings of the silent Amidah are praises of Hashem. And then we make all of our requests. But you don't make your requests before you start off with the praises, because you have to show, this is, I understand to whom I'm speaking, I understand the greatness with which I am pouring out my heart, I praise you, and then I make my request. So the Ramban writes that this opening line is really a praise of Hashem. The Ramban writes, what does it mean that Avram and Yitzchak have walked before you? He says, O God, whom my forefathers have walked before you. So the Ramban writes, the Elokei Avosav, the God of my fathers, Asher lo hagidula v'agvura, to you is greatness and strength, va'asei mohem es hagidolos ves hanoiros. And my forefathers who walked before you did so because they saw all of your strength, they saw all of your might, they saw all of your abilities, and therefore I praise you who is the source of all of that strength before whom my forefathers walked, who has taken care of me and shepherded me my whole life. So at the opening two phrases, according to Ramban, are phrases, it seems to me, of praise. You who have shown might, strength, and everything before my forefathers who have walked before you, you have taken care of me my whole life. Therefore I ask, bless the children, take care of them, they should multiply. That's how the Ramban reads these two introductory phrases. The Sforno reads it a little bit differently. He comments that the phrase that my forefathers have walked before you is actually a request of Hashem. It's saying, O God, who my forefathers have walked before you, through their own great merits, trials and tribulations, they have put forth the energy to do so, therefore I say this chusam. I request that in their merit, in the merit of my forefathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, who have walked before you, bless the children, as the phrase continues. So they differ a little bit as to exactly what is he doing, what is Yaakov doing in this introductory phrase in which he says, O God, he's conjuring up two separate images, O God, who my forefathers have walked before. Is that a request saying, look at what they've done for you? Therefore, in their merit, bless my children. Or in their own words of the Ramban, they've walked before you because you have shown them so much strength and glory and greatness. Therefore, with that praise that you have shown to them and that which you have shown to me in taking care of me, I ask you that you should bless the children. Then we get to the Malach. So that's the opening phrase. HaMalach, Hagoya Loisi. Where does this Malach fit in, and who is Yaakov talking to? So the commentators are all bothered by this, because as someone pointed out, we don't, that's your comment, we don't normally pray to angels. It's not something that we do. We pray directly to God alone. So who is he speaking to when he says, HaMalach HaGoya Losi? So the Sforno addresses this as follows. He says, Tziva SheHaMalach HaGoya Losi Yivoriches HaNa'orim. That Yaakov is praying to Hashem, that Hashem should command the angel which has continuously protected Yaakov himself, the angel which has protected me, you, God, speak to the angel, command the angel which has protected me, that he should bless the children. Why does Yaakov ask God to command the angel to do that? Why not just ask God to do it himself? So the Sforno says Yaakov is covering his bases. And he writes in three words, a little bit more, Im einam ru'uyin lebirchasecha bilti emsai. If they're not fit, if they don't deserve your blessing directly. So that this eternal blessing that Yaakov gives to his grandchildren, to Yosef and to Ephraim and to Menashe, which is a blessing that we utter throughout the year to our own children, Hamalach Hagoya Losim Mikorah, the Sforno writes, is a blessing which Yaakov says, God, command your angel to do that, if they're not fit to have it come directly from you. What's unsaid is that, of course, I pray directly to you, Elohim, God, whom my forefathers have walked before, God, before whom you've protected me my whole life. If they're not worthy to get the blessing directly from you, if they're not worthy to receive it as my forefathers, and I have been directly from you, well, then at least command the angel who has protected me, that that angel should also continue his protection to the children as well. That's how this one. The Ramban has a Kabbalistic approach, which I'm not equipped to talk about, but that, the at least on a simple level, as to how the to read this idea of that it's Hashem speaking to Yaakov speaking to Hashem to command the angel. It's not, if you were just a straightforward translation of the text, it's not clear, but that's how the commentators understand it, because of the difficulty of what of how else understand this. First he speaks to God, then he speaks to the angel. It's a talk to Hashem to command the angel to continue the blessing to the children. Yeah?
I would love to hear more about this, because it's very interesting. The angels coming and going on the ladder, up and down, different angels escorting him, coming in, and then the angel of Esav wrestling with him. You know, it's hard to envision this presence of this, who this, you know, Malach is, but there is a Malach that guards the Jewish people, so to speak. It'd be good to know more about this, I think.
I agree. If you find somebody who's capable of teaching you, please let me know.
Just to fit it in together with everything we've learned.
I wish I were. I don't know. And that's something that's beyond my.
Is it related to the angels on Friday night that we sing?
I don't know if it's related. No, it's related only in the umbrella discussion of, in the world we live in is a very finite. You see, you're going to get me to talk about it. I know very little about this. I really don't. I do. What I know is that the Kabbalistic sources that we have understand that when God created the world, He, as a total spiritual, infinite being, created, I just use the word layers because I don't have the vocabulary to discuss it, layers of creations, until we get down, our world that we live in is the last and final of those layers. And then it's the most finite.
Kaling.
Okay, that's all. Whatever word we want to use, it's the most finite manifestation of the of a world that we have, in that which we occupy. Between us and God Himself, so to speak, are various levels. Sometimes it's the example that I've been given over the years. If you take the nuclear power plant and the electrical socket that maybe it's powering, there are many levels in between, because that's very powerful, and I just need to plug in my shaver, so it's like taken down to this plant, to that plant, before it finally ends in a little wire in my home, that's the amount that I can handle. So something along those lines, however you want to envision it. So we don't have access in our low finite world to this concept of these angels. We don't know that we're like not in that world. We're like dealing with, you know, the finite world of making a living and dealing with all the stuff that we deal with in this world. So they're only related to Friday night angels and these angels in a general discussion of where do angels fit in our understanding of the world. How do we relate to them? How do we understand them? I am not equipped to talk about that. I don't know. I just don't know. But they're only related in that. Otherwise, those would be two separate concepts. This idea that the sages say an angel accompanies a person home Friday night and is at the table. Same idea, but whatever the understanding of that is, which I'm not equipped to talk about, that's why I put myself on the same boat. If Ron finds somebody capable of teaching it, I'll be there. But I don't know. I'm certainly not allowed to tell you what I know about it, that's for sure. I haven't done anything about it. Okay. Now, all of that so far has been the background for the actual blessing. In other words, why does the Torah say he blessed Yosef? Because really a blessing to the children is a blessing to the father. We have the two introductory phrases, whether or not it's a praise, saying, you have shown your greatness to my forefathers and to me, or whether or not it's a request, in the merit of my fathers who have walked before you, please bless the children. And then he gets to the actual blessing, which is a three-part blessing, in which he commands the angel to bless us, and to do three things. To bless us, which is straightforward, that my name should be called upon my children, and that they should increase like fish. So Rashi already addresses the issue of the fish. Why do we use fish as the quintessential blessing for the Jewish people? So Rashi comments, because dogim are porim v'robim, they increase greatly. Fish for sure have that ability. Ve'ein ayin hara sholetes b'hen. The concept of an ayin hara, literally translated as the evil eye, which is also a concept which is a difficult concept, but there's an idea out there that the evil eye is the fish are protected from that because they're not seen, they're hidden. We don't actually see what they have, their numbers, because it's underwater. And the idea of the ayin hara, which is an idea that you don't flaunt or show your blessings. When people see things, they look at them, and they become known, that's whatever this, again, I'm not prepared to talk about this concept of Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara comes up a lot within Jewish thought, that if your blessings are out there for others to see, this is not good. You try to keep things hidden. The most simple manifestation is that the concept of a blessing itself, the Gemara says, is hidden from the eye. If you count up exactly what your produce was that year, well, then you're sort of stuck. You can't have a miraculous event. God can't bless your produce because you know exactly what you have. If you keep it in the storehouse and you don't count, you don't keep track, blessing can be found on things which are some min ha'ayin, things that are hidden from the eye. Once things are brought to the open, it creates a whole different realm. So Rashi comments this idea of the blessings to the idea of the blessings to the children through fish is because fish are protected from that, and therefore they're underwater, they're not seen, and therefore that's what we use, since they do multiply greatly and they are hidden, so they're protected from what we refer to as the ayin hara. But what about the middle blessing? This idea that my name should be called upon them. What does that mean, that my name should be called upon them? So I want to share again two thoughts, one from the Ramban and one from the Sforno, on this idea. What does it mean that Yaakov gives a bracha, my name should be called upon them? Ramban, Nachmanides writes, Shiya'amod zaram ushmam v'yiyah shem avram yisak nizkar v'hem li'olam. What it means is that my name should be called upon them is that this is the eternal blessing of the Jewish people, that they should always exist. What does it mean to say that my name should always be called upon you? It's a blessing of eternity. And no matter what happens, the Jewish people will always be there. There will always be people upon whom we say, that's the son of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Those are the Jews. And throughout our history, our world's history, nations have come and nations have gone. We've been persecuted, we've been blessed, we've had everything in between, always. And what always has existed, the one constant is that there are always Jews in the world upon whom people say, those are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They might not always say it as a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. But Yaakov, the bracha that Yaakov is giving to his grandchildren is, but it will always be said about you. The eternity of the Jewish people is forever. There will always be sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who will be out there, who will be Nizkar Bohem Le'olam. They will be recognized, be in existence forever. And that's what the way the Ramban understands the blessing, that my name shall be called upon you. It's a blessing that you'll be, there'll be descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov forever. It will be a people, despite the fact without a homeland for all of these 2,000 years, people persecuted, will always be around them, will always exist. And that is encapsulated in this blessing. So when we say this is one of the quintessential blessings that parents give to their children, of Amalach, Agoyel, Asi, Yivarech, V'korei V'hem Shemi, V'shem Avosai, that my name should be called upon you, and the name of my fathers, Avraham and Yitzchak, it's a blessing of eternity, that you should be part of the eternal people, you and your children, to be Jewish, and to continue that on, and to always have that name and that lineage affiliated with you. The Sforno adds a wrinkle to that. The Sforno adds, Yaakov says, I want my name to be called upon you, and the name of my father and his father. Meaning, Avraham, Yitzchak, that's all he says. My name, v'shem Avraham v'Yitzchak. Abraham and Yitzchak. So the Sforno says, well, why not more than that? Why not go farther up the line? Why not go to Terach? Why not go to Nachor? Abraham was a son of somebody. He was a son of somebody. How can we only say Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So he says, because we don't refer to righteous people as descendants of wicked people. We refer to the righteous, and we call them this righteous person, the son of that righteous person. But we don't then take it back who is then descended from a wicked person. We only refer to them as the righteous, the son of the righteous, in the same way as we refer to the wicked in the Gemara, refers to the wicked, the son of, and it often will refer to a grandfather or great-grandfather who is also wicked, and not this person who is the son of that. If that person was righteous, we identify him as the wicked person, the son of another wicked person. So the Sforno writes, a layer of meaning in the blessing that Yaakov says when he says, I want my name and my father's name, Yitzchak, and his father's name, Avram, to be called upon you, it's a blessing that you should be righteous. It's a blessing that you should be people who are worthy of saying, this is the son of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because a Jew who is unworthy, we're not going to say that you're a son of Abraham. We don't want to say that. Son of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You're not worthy of having that name. So the blessing is that you should be the type of child. The tefillah is, Shemuchanim v'ne'ezarim, you should be successful and helped in your service of Hashem in a way that it will be appropriate that we always will refer to them as children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that we should always refer to them as children of Avraham, that they should be righteous children, children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that the blessing is, part A, they should be blessed, a general, generic sort of phrase, they should be blessed, they should be, according to the Sforno, righteous, that they should have the name of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov always called upon them. According to the Ramban, they should be eternal, that the name of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov should always be called upon them, will always exist. And the third part of the blessing, they should multiply like fish, protected from the Ayin Hara, and they should be able to multiply abundantly. That is the meaning of this blessing according to these two verses, difficult to psukim, according to the approaches of the Ramban and of the Sforno, and working out what exactly Yaakov said to the boys. Yeah.
On that blessing of the fish, you know, the protection against the evil eye, was that meant to be, in your opinion, like more of a blessing for the people of Israel not to have an evil eye towards one another? Or was it kind of a blessing that the nations of the world shouldn't have so much of an evil eye against the nation of Israel?
Great question. Probably both. In my mind, it's more from the nations of the world, but I'm not sure about that. Could go either way. It's an interesting question.
Later on, he does give the rest of a blessing.
Yeah.
So maybe, for whatever reason, it just said that he blessed Yosef. I mean, maybe he even blessed him here. Maybe it's out of order.
So it's possible. In other words, those are the two approaches. And according to the Sforno, there was two verbs in the pasuk, two separate things took place. He blessed Yosef, and then he blessed the boys. So it could be within that first, but I don't think so because, and as I'm speaking this over, the blessing that he gives to Yosef later in the Parsha, all the boys were present, all the 12 sons, the 12 tribes were all present for each other's brachos. So it couldn't have been that he gave him this one here because the only people who were here this time was Yosef and his two sons. The other sons hadn't been called in yet. So it seemed like it was either just something else. Or you have the Ramban's approach that he didn't actually give a bracha to Yosef specifically. He actually only blessed the boys, and through the blessing to the boys was a blessing to the father.
I'd like to propose that maybe
the bracha of being like fish. Fish were the only creatures that weren't destroyed in the muddle. They don't have a history of having evilness. Because I could have said, he could have easily said, yeah, it should be like lions. I mean, we would have envisioned a strong, you know, but fish, another idea, maybe that's logical.
Oh, so they weren't destroyed, that's true.
I think they wouldn't multiply a lot. I mean, the fish can have 100 babies at one time. I mean, even a rabbit can't have that amount. Another thing that confused it to me, though, is, within the land, if they were in Mitzrayim,
right.
Normally right Mitzrayim. This is in the land, so they've got to be in Israel to multiply like fish.
Oh, you're saying within the land is a reference specifically only to Israel?
Because normally, if you're talking about Mitzrayim, you'll never use Eretz.
Eretz. Interesting. I didn't see that anyway. That was a specific reference, but that is interesting. I don't know.
Plus, with fish, since they're eggs, they're not like like rabbits. Once they're born, I mean, they have to be nurtured, and they have to stick with the mom for a while. But with the fish, they're just kind of left alone, and they evolve. Well, not evolve, but they grow up on their own. And they eat plankton, or so. Is that maybe why you use fish? Because if he talked about Hashem walked in front of him, I remember listening to his parsha last year on MP3. How he said it, Noah walked or Noah walked with God,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot who else it was that
Aaron
walked with Hashem in front of him,
right?
Because he didn't need his help as much. These fish don't need help as much after they're born. They're just eggs that are put out there.
Yeah. Fair. In other words, all of that is encompassed in why that specific imagery. That's totally fair. All right, but those are the two blessings. Two difficult psukim. I hope it wasn't too confusing at the end, but those are some thoughts on those. I'll let you out a little bit early today.
Okay.
And good afternoon.
Thank you.